Even though I have heard and read these words from the end of Revelation dozens of times at funerals and burials, anytime that I hear them, I am first taken back to a hospital room. And the first time I was called to be a pastoral voice as someone lay dying. In the bed was a very elderly woman. And if it hadn't been for the humming of the machines, I would have thought I'd already come too late. With the family gathered around her bed, one of the woman's loved ones looked at me and asked me one of those impossible questions. What will heaven be like for my sister? So we read the final pages of this revelation of John together. And it was as if it were a movie scene. A single tear rolled down the cheek of the dying woman. I've often found myself wondering about her in that moment, wondering what she was experiencing, wondering what she could have been experiencing so near to her own death. Maybe it was nothing but bodily reflex at the time, but I certainly hope there was some measure of comfort and hope for her in those words. A vision of the world, if everything was as God says it should be. It is a city, people living in community. The gates are flung wide open. There is no night. There is nothing to fear because God and the Lamb are there, shining peace brightly. And there is this tree of life, watered by the river of life, whose fruit is there to satisfy all hunger and whose leaves are there to heal all brokenness, the world finally as God wants it to be. The vision at the end of Revelation is a much needed promise of the future reality that God intends for us, of the eternal word that God speaks to us in our baptisms, that the cross that is marked on our foreheads lasts forever, and that the one who made us will never abandon us. These words are never anything less than that. But they are also quite a bit more. This revelation to John is not only a book about the future, about the world that God will build one day. It is a word given to a people living in a world that looks every bit as broken as it always has. This vision of Revelation is a word spoken to people trying to square God's vision of the way the world is supposed to be with the broken, frightening, and deadly world that seems all too apparent around us. It is a vision for those who have heard the message of Christ, that the reign of God is coming and now is here, but who look around and wonder where exactly this reign is to be found. It is a word spoken to people who share a world, who share a room with death. Rob Bell once said that the Christian life is a life lived between two trees, a tree of brokenness and pain in Eden, and a tree of wholeness and healing in the New Jerusalem. And it always feels as if the shadows of both of these trees are upon us. We live with the promise that the world has changed forever, that the tomb is empty, and that death has been defeated, even while we look around and see children kept in cages, cruelty inflicted on the vulnerable, the racism that seemed relegated to history books appearing in the halls of power. Every time love seems to win, fear and insecurity birth violence somewhere else. Every time we seem to be sitting under one tree, we are reminded that the shadow of the other still falls on our world. And so it can be tempting between these trees to do as we have sometimes done, and to take this vision of the reign of God and leave it in some future realm, leave it to the work of God someday, and to simply wait it out or to do what little we can and to tailor and trim our hopes accordingly. But that is not our story. The story of these Easter weeks, these weeks of Alleluia, the astonishing, challenging, and unbelievable story is not that the tomb will one day be empty, that one day God will keep God's promise to dwell with us, but that the tomb is empty now, in this world, today. And that God, God's Spirit, the very body of Christ, is among us and moves through us even now. As a promise of our future, this vision is powerful and moving and comforting, but paired with this gospel passage, it becomes something more. Paired with the promise of the Spirit coming into and moving through our world, this vision of Revelation becomes a future reaching into our present, an interruption of the world of shadows that surround us. "I do not give to you as the world gives," Christ declares. "But as the world gives you the fear that you do not measure up, I give you the promise of God's abiding love." We receive from this world an identity that haunts us with a sense of lack, a sense that to be good enough means to be better than. And once we go out and prove our better than we will be good enough. "I do not give to you the way the world gives to you." As the world gives to us, the rivalry that leads so many to give as they get to return violence for violence and hatred, Christ gives to us the peace that breaks this cycle. And as the world gives to us the cynicism and doubt that tempt us to believe that the world cannot be different, that hope is only for some future world, the Spirit coming, the Spirit present gives to us a promise that God is with us even now. It is this promise that is spoken to us in our baptismal waters, that we are sent into a world between these two trees, and it is from the healing of the last tree that we can look into the shadows of the first tree. In the waters of our baptisms, in the words, "I love you, you are my child, and I am with you always," God cuts through the world's message that we do not measure up, declaring that we are everything that we need to be, that you are everything that you need to be, wrapped in God's unending love. In these words and with this promise, God gives us new ground to stand on. A new identity to claim, a new journey to walk, to transform our world into what it might be. It is from this promise that we are sent into the world to give, not as the world gives, but as the one who gives peace gives. And so when we encounter the fear and insecurity that birth violence in our world, the darkness that yet remains, we can respond differently, speaking the promise of God's complete future even in our present. And we may not be able to stop all of the cruelty that we see in our world, or to halt all of the attacks on marginalized people, or to immediately uproot the racism that has lived in our culture for so long. But neither are we powerless. Sent from this place and sent from this vision, we are able to go into a world to speak words of love when we meet words of fear, to be attentive to the ways that those around us are vulnerable and offer a place of safety and a word of value to those who feel endangered, to sit with those who lay dying and speak words of eternal life. The world as God wants it to be does not happen when we are swept up into the clouds to be with God, but when we see that God has come among us already, and when we refuse to encounter the world the way it encounters us. It is when the people of God refuse to give as the world gives that this Spirit of God is moving among the people. And so when we find ourselves meeting the death and the darkness and the shadow of that first tree, we can remember the leaves of that last tree and the baptismal promise that is ours, that God is with us and that nothing can ever change that. Living from this promise, we throw open the gates of the city and go out to meet others where they are, bringing the healing peace that Christ gives in this world. This is the love of God dwelling amongst us. This is the hope that speaks eternal life today. Amen.